into Shabbos. So I'm gonna try to kind of like walk a fine line of doing those these sagios well without just going off into Shabbos and never coming back. So we'll see how well I thread the needle on that one. But that's bikaron the idea. So we'll see. So without further ado, davar okay, so context, and I think we can just use this also to highlight some sort of like broader, some broader issues. The Gemara is asking about, right, mahu livo b'tchila b'Shabbos? Can you have beer rishona on Shabbos? Is dam mifkad pakid or chibure michbar? Okay, is the dam, like dam besulim, like just sort of like sitting there, right? Is it almost like there's blood in there that's not right? It's not, but it's not like in the skin that like is coming out as a wound, or no, right? The blood is the blood that comes from a wound. The So if there's the dam is there and you're not making a chabur, okay? The nafkamina in this case would be making a chabur as asr on Shabbos, right? You're not let a right. Make a cut or make a bruise on Shabbos, and that would be an issue. And if, but if even if so, if you say dam mifkad pocket, so you're not making a chabura, right? Lidam hutzarech v'shari. Is it? Oh, he needs the dam. The point of is you know he intends for the dam to come out. Odom lepetach hutzarech v'asi. Now, two things that already just come up. That are a bit interesting, which is one is like what are we talking about, right? Is it like we don't know the Metzias? So first of all, in Achanani, totally possible. We don't know the Metzias, right? It's very hard in general to really pinpoint, you know, the actual physical Metzias in general, right? Medicine, anything that's internal, it's very hard to know without. You know, if you cut people open, they're usually dead, and they're not as good as useful sources of information. Cutting people who are alive open is frowned upon, and you've already started cutting them open, in which case it's much more difficult to determine how things were before you started, you know, dismembering them. So don't dismember people. So it's always possible that, like in a Hanami, this is a Metzias question, but. From the second point, I'm going to make a di back to the first point, which is the second point is right. Lidam. Okay, now that means right. Is he like trying? Does he want the dam? What does it mean? We have to like to see to show that she's a basula, right? Or is it right? He wants the hymen to no longer be there, right? And that's really what. What his like intent is. Now, we're not really, it's very hard to argue, although I guess you could, bedochach, but it's very hard to argue that what's really going on here is that we're trying to figure out what's going on inside this guy's head, right? Because we know exactly what's going on inside this guy's head, especially, right? If young chasan, young kala, they're getting married, right? We know that they're none of this. Right, I don't think then they when they get married, he's thinking like, oh, like I really want to take out be motzi the dam, right? That's really what I'm trying to do. Or lepetach hutzarech, right? They're trying to have be rishona, right? That's their intent, right? But right, that intent is very vague, right? Or in the sense that it's ill-formed in the in a halachic sense, right? They want to he wants to have be a rishona, right? Which along with comes, right, there's the Bisulim and there's gonna be Dam and et cetera, right? What is going on? How do we conceive of the fact that this person does also kind of want to know that she's a Basula, right? In let's say at least Bismanam, right? That was definitely something that was on their mind at Bir Rishona is oh, you know, is there gonna be Dam? Is that proves that she's a Basula, X, Y, Z. We also know that they're trying to have Bia Rishona, right? They just got married. We also Right. We also know that there being Besulim there in the long term, right, is inconvenient. It's something that is kind of like something to get out of the way from a practical sense. Is that something that they're thinking about? Right. So I'd say like none of these things are really things that they're thinking about proactively. Right. They're all kind of part of this package, package deal or package kavana of this is a newlywed couple who wants to have be a Rishona. So I think the fact that there's these this kind of vague awareness, right, which different elements of are kind of more or less relevant, is the question really becomes not so much what are they thinking as much as what relevance does what they're thinking have in a halachic category, okay? And then moving a little forward with that, we can say, well, is dam mifkad pakir or chiburei mechbar might be part of the same kind of structure. I will explain that in 1 second. And this is huge in terms of the discussions of Malachas Shabbos and Malachas Machshavas, which is there's some sort of maisa going on, right? That maisa, though, what makes something a maisa, right? When you go like this, right, you can be swatting a fly. You could be, right, trying to, you could be waving, saying hi, right? You can also be doing this in front of a infrared sensor and trying to turn on the lights, right? What your motion, right? There's some sort of physical motion involved in your action, right? And there could be a, right, some sort of outcome from your action, right? But the physical action could be the same, right? I can do this, and it can mean hello. It can mean turn on the lights, right? I could do it without thinking, in which case maybe it really means nothing. Right? But all those things have the same action without necessarily having the same meaningful intent, right? And then what happens is that, you know, his intent, also in terms of what his intent, has the same sort of issue, which is his intent is whatever's going on in his head, right? But unless you're like some super brisker who like only thinks in halachic categories, right? And you think, I'm doing, you know, Meleches Kosev, or I'm doing, you know, Korea, right? What you're thinking is of whatever it is you're trying to do. And then we have to map that to halachic categories, right? We have to map that to some sort of, you know, halachically recognized object where we can say, oh, well, this is, you know, XYZ Melacha. This is XYZ Maisa, right? So we have this physical action. We have this intent. We need to map what intent does he have? Then we need to combine it with what action is he doing? And only then can we really define what mice is going on. And that's going to be a huge factor in also an understanding of what's a malacha shein tzricha legufa and what's a davar sheino miskaven and things like that, because all of them, right, go around this idea that just because did something doesn't mean you've done that action. Okay? So going back into the Gemara, so is dam mifkad pakir o chibur mechbar, can say, right, we know what, you know, cutting someone's skin is, right? And we know, let's say, the example we're going to deal with later is like lancing a boil where you have, right, like you have a boil, so it has pus in it, but you're not, that's not the same as a chabura, as making a cut, right? So whatever the metzias of dam besulim is, right, is that really, is that exactly the same as a regular chabura or not, right? Is that, there's, let's say, to give some way of conceptualizing this a little clearer, dam nida, right, isn't really dam maka. And in Hilchos Nida, we make a huge distinction between dam maka and dam nida, right? One comes from the decay of the uterine lining, right? So it's blood, it's coming from, right, from tissue. It's coming from blood cells that are rupturing. On the other hand, right, it's not really a maka, right? It's the decay of the uterine lining, which happens for hormonal reasons, and it's physically and biologically distinct than an actual maka, right? So how do we, so again, you know, in terms of dam mifkad pakir chibur mechbar, I think that's kind of where they're coming from, which is, okay, right? There's dam, but is that dam, right, coming from, because this metzias is not exactly the same as, right, a chabura, and it's not exactly the same as, you know, or we don't know if it's really the same as just, I mean, Mifkar Pavis is like kind of in a, is like in a container, right? How do we map that into halachic categories? And then the same thing about the Kavana, right? What significance, what weight do we give to these kind of vague awarenesses that are in someone's head, such as he's aware that there's going to be dam. He has some sort of, you know, awareness of that in a proactive sense of, you know, like it shows or proves that she's a basula, let's say, right? It's also something that they want to get out of the way, right? So then it's also ledam hu tzarech, right? If we saw Tosfos, the Ria and Rita Tam argues it like kind of more positive or negative. Is it like, is it proof that it's, she's a basula, or is it that just you want to get it out of the way so you just don't have to deal with it in the future, right? And ledam hu tzarech petach memela kasi, right? Is that something that you're more, is that it's more relevant to you or not? I think all these come into this question of, well, she has this kind of vague awareness of doing Bia Rishona, and all these things kind of come along with it, but which of them gain halachic significance? Okay. Assuming that, right, whatever he is, he's not being mechavein to a malacha, halachic Rabbi Shimon, damar davashin miskavein mutter, or halachic Rabbi Yehuda, damar davashin miskavein aser. His machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is a davashin miskavein mutter or aser. Is this like considered mekalkel or metaking? This is, again, I think, a perfect example of the same sort of issue that we've just been talking about, which is, on the one hand, right, it's kind of better for her to be a basula, right? On the other hand, it's not when she's married, right? So In a sort of sense, it's metakin. On the other hand, it's mekalkel. On the other hand, it's really metakin, right? On the other hand, maybe it's just neither, right? It's just not, it's not such a relevant concept in this case, right? Which is kind of what the Gemara is mesupik about. So again, how do we define, let's say, the question of mekalkel or metakin? Is it sort of like an objective kilkel, objective tikkun? Is it, do we look at it contextually? Do we care about what the people intend for, right? That's like mekalkel, that's like a huge factor, at least by like chabura, right? By the Gemara talks about the idea of meleches machsheves, that sometimes meleches machsheves will take something that like objectively shouldn't have been a malacha and makes it into a malacha, okay? Particularly by, let's say, mekalkel b'chabura, right? We say that Rabbi Shimon says mekalkel b'chabura is chayev. Why? Because it's not really mekalkel, even though objectively when you hit somebody, it's a kilkel, because that's what you're trying to do, right? You're trying to hurt them, so you accomplished it. Meleches Machsheves says that on Shabbos, we care most about what you intend to do. Have you accomplished something? It's almost like, you know, more subjective. So because of that, if we wouldn't apply the idea, the Patur of Mekalkel, if for you it's a tikkun. Yeah. Sammy or Eitan or both?
Just trying to understand the way you were explaining the like mapping kavana into halachic categories. Mm-hmm. What exactly is the process we're saying we do there? Are we like ascribing like the closest possible like halachic thing to what he evidently thinks? Are we trying to uncover some sort of like knowledge that he has, and so we're saying that was like actually his kavana? What exactly are we doing there? If people don't explicitly think in halachic categories, how do we like make them?
So I would say that we map them to, you know, the closest halachic category. I wanna just throw in some computer stuff because I just, you know, because why not? That's like my new thing. So it's sort of like, you know, it's like a hash function. So it gives, you know, it describes it, like there's a hash function that takes, okay, you give me an X input, right? And that hash function puts it in a hash table of like where, you know, where should it fit in halachic terms? Where it's gonna fit in memory. I just wanted to give a computer's module, so I'll actually explain it for real. But the idea is that, right, you have intent for something, right? And that intent, right, can be halachically significant. Just and, you know, then we need to categorize that and quantify that. Just like, I would say, you know, the question of you, you know, Shabbos is the easiest example, especially since we're dealing with it. But, you know, all the time, like you do some sort of action, right? And, you know, you want to say, oh, you know, is that considered, is that a malacha? What malacha would it be, right? And then would it really be that malacha? Would it be mutter? Would it be aser, right? So, because whatever you're doing isn't exactly the malacha, right? But, right, there's the halacha, you know, like, I mean, the most ridiculous example is opening and closing an electrical circuit bone, right? So the Chazon Ish says, yeah, right, it's bone. Why? Because you've constructed this, you know, the circuit that now is alive with electricity and function, right? And now it does something. And now if you take it apart, you've destroyed it. You've broken the circuit. You now doesn't work, right? And Rosh Zalman's like, that's just not a malacha, right? And they're arguing on, you know, like Bona is making a kli. You didn't make a kli. You didn't actually physically make a kli. But the Chazon says, well, essentially, you did, right? This maps to Malachas Bona because you've constructed something new. You've created a new function, or you've created function out of this non-functional object until you plugged it in and turned it on, right? So that sort of like mapping function, or that, you know, sort of, I like to connect it to this general idea of why we have so many machlokot, but also why there's such, you know, so much good lamdas, and why it's like elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, is because Torah is really this, you know, like this objective, you know, this objective abstract, you know, ideal conceptualization of like God's will, right? And to fit that into a finite, finite world, right, is impossible, right? It can't perfectly be manifest in a finite world because Torah is infinite, right? And it's divine. And our job, right, is to try to implement, right, the infinite, you know, and the infinite facets of halacha in a finite world. So the reason why Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim could be true is because they are ways of manifesting and implementing, right, Ratzon Hashem in Olam Hazeh. Why is there a difference, right? Why do you pass me like one or the other? Because at some point, right, we can argue that one is a better implementation than another. And what's also very interesting nafkamina of that is, in theory, right, you can argue that how come, like, it's for a bunch of generations, you know, we'd pass in like one Rishon, and then suddenly the pendulum would shift. One thing is because, okay, right, you know, they're both valid opinions and consensus has changed, but I think there's like a sort of even greater proactive value to that in, well, sometimes as the reality changes, right, or, you know, how things are structured, you know, in the world. So what would the most ideal application of the halacha be to the circumstances could change. Right, and that's also why we can be more. We are sometimes using somech on shitos, right? Where some, you know, and we use like a sniff lahakel and this and that other thing based on different circumstances. It's not only just like, oh, you have like a legal mechanism, as much as, right, what's the ideal, what's the appropriate and the ideal implementation of halacha in these circumstances isn't really fixed, right? That's why poskim have a very significant leeway on certain things, right? And some things you don't. Also, it only works if you're trying to implement halacha. It doesn't work if you're like, oh, I want to do that, right? So I can make halacha fit there, right? But if you're really trying to implement halacha, so then in different circumstances, the most ideal implementation of halacha could be different, right? So I think it actually is very mat'im that, you know, there's this abstract ideal conception of, you know, of malacha on Shabbos. And then the question is, well, things that we as humans do in our finite world, you know, how do those compare to those perfect ideal categories? That's my take. I have seen Lashonos where, you know, they talk about, oh, because like people know or people think that do a little more like mind reading and like subliminal reading into what people are thinking and doing. But I think very much the former. And I think it's really just reflective of this really, I think, really nice idea about, you know, the multifaceted nature of Torah. And then also, you know, like a lot of times, like, you know, if you change, like you could theoretically, right, have a whole bunch of different shitos, right, together. It kind of goes in block sometimes, right? Like if you, it's not only just like, oh, like, you know, here are these two shitos and one of them is right or wrong, but it's like if you pass in this way over here and this way over here and this way over here, right, then the one, like the shita or the psak that would fit best with that construct of manifesting halacha would be this. But if you pass in like this, this, and this over here, right, then like the overall structure of halacha, you know, would actually be most ideally manifest by passing this way in this case, right? And then all the idea that like every sugya really is interconnected with each other, right, and really impact how the entire structure should be manifest, really just, again, makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, so I think that is really part of what's going on. And then this person, it's not like, oh, this person is thinking, oh, ledama yitzarech, and I'm being osa petach on Shabbos, and I'm having lasias petach with Shabbos, right? And he's like, well, you know, it's one of the 39 avos malacha. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Hopefully he's not thinking that when he's getting married, as much as we love being brisker and like thinking in halachic terms, like you're probably thinking about getting married when you're getting married. Also because that's a halachic, right? As we, you know, we went in the Kedushin days, like there's a lot of just lum that's going into being Mekadesh, so you shouldn't be thinking about Hilchos Shabbos, you should be thinking about Hilchos Kedushin. And we don't want it to get distracted, although it is interconnected, obviously. Yeah, sorry. So that's how I would answer that. And I think that's really kind of what you kind of see in the Gemara. Like, how do we, whatever he's thinking, you know, something, right? But it's not like he's thinking about these things. So how do we categorize it? Or how do we map that to our halachic construct? And that's again how we can have these machloksim. Because again, there is room for machlokas and mitzias. It does happen. Right. But usually, you know, a machlokas and mitzies is mostly a machlokas of priority or of weighting, right? How much weight do you give to, you know, to this? If the mitzies is very similar to this, let's say, right? And, you know, people are somewhat thinking of it. So you're somewhat thinking this, and that's really kind of what's happening, right? So then together, that's like, that's maybe a better way to conceptualize it. If you say, no, like the Mitzias is really this, the guy's thinking that, right? You know, he's aware of this. So then it's much more difficult to say, well, you know, the Mitzias is much more like this, but like he's thinking much more of that, right? And how you conceive of your actions also, right, has a big, big part to play. Okay. Do we say Davarshein Miskavein is like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Shimon, right? And again, for Rabbi Yehuda, right? For Rabbi Shimon, sorry, the whole idea of Davarshein Miskavein is mutter on Shabbos, right? Is essentially that just because you is the flip side of what we're saying, right? Just because you're doing it, right, doesn't mean that that's what you're doing, right? Like we don't have to interpret your action as being one of digging. If you're just dragging, you know, pushing a baby carriage or pulling a bench over the ground to somewhere new, because since you're, you know, your intent is to move the bench, right? So then your action is really an action of moving the bench, even though physically that's also happening as well, right? So how do we conceptualize your action according to, let's say, Rabbi Shimon, really depends on your intent. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda cares a lot more about the metzias, right? The end result. Physically, like, well, that's what happened. Yeah.
Are you more inclined to say that than just like, yes, you're doing the act, but whether you're culpable or not is machloka? Meaning just whether you can be culpable for something for enemy kavin, but like everyone agrees you're doing the act, machloka, whether you could be held responsible for it if you didn't have intention.
Yeah. Oh, so when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, I think yes. There's a big machloka between Rabbi Kiva Eger and a bunch of the other achronim. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that in Kol HaTorah Kula, Davar Shein Misasek is a ptur from Onesh. It's like a ptur from the Isser, right? Or from Onesh, but it doesn't mean that it didn't happen, right? When it comes to Shabbos, then it didn't happen. There was no malacha. Because malacha b'ches machshavas asur Torah. And therefore, just like definitionally, right? If there's no machshavas, then there's no malachas.
Like right? Lo lam lo nasar, kind of thing. Like, yes, you're plowing, but it's lo lam lo nasar to be plowing in this circumstance.
More than that. It's not just that it's not usur, it's that it's not plowing, right? And I would say again, right, if I go like this, because I'm trying to swat a fly, but I end up triggering, you know, the electric eye that turns on the lights, I didn't turn on the lights, right? The lights might have gone on because of me, but I never did the action. I never did a mitzvah of turning on the lights. And on Shabbos, the iser is to do a malacha, right? A malacha is this creative act, right? There's nothing creative in what I did. I didn't do anything. I didn't create anything, right? I might have been the cause of something happening, right? But the idea that I did something creative or constructive, right, is inapplicable. You get like the distinction there? Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, because everyone agrees that you went like that. And with plowing, there's no other thing that you could have been doing. Like, I just think they're not.
Well, you're dragging a bench, right? But I'm saying, like, you drag a bench, everyone agrees that you, right? I mean, it's actually an interesting question, right? Can we say, oh, like, you made the furrow in the ground? Or maybe we can even say, like, oh, no, there's a furrow in the ground, right? You didn't make a furrow in the ground. Right, but I think this is a good way to sharpen this. Actually, if you make a furrow in the ground, right? So I can argue two things. I could say you didn't make a furrow in the ground, right? There's a furrow in the ground because of you, but you never made a furrow in the ground, right? Because it implies like you did this mice, you made something, you did something. It happened, right? A lot of the achronim, I think it's Asmodel Reisa, says that. And he says, yeah. If you, by misasik, it's as if you didn't do it, right? Kind of like we were talking about when we were doing Onas Achmona Patre, like you just didn't do it, right? On the other hand, right, Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying, no, of course you did it, right? But when it comes to Shabbos, you made a furrow in the ground, but you didn't plow. And on Shabbat, it's not us to make a furrow in the ground, it's us to plow, right? But to make something into plowing, and this gets back to right, our core idea that we're coming back to, which is plowing is not the action of there being a furrow in the ground or you making a furrow in the ground, right? What makes something into plowing, right, is a uniquely human creative activity of agriculture. For example, when a squirrel, right, digs in the ground and buries a nut, right, that isn't planting. That isn't agriculture, right? There's a seed. It's now in the ground, right? But that doesn't count as planting. Or, you know, when a bird eats a berry and then, right, it poops the berry and then it grows into a tree. That's not planting, right? Because there needs to be some sort of human intent in order to make it into a malacha. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that's unique to Shabbos, right? That this creates this Dovrashin Miskavin, you know, so, and like Misasik just don't exist. Okay. And there's like big Nafkamina, like Rabbi Akiva Gebrisa says, like, you know, like Misasiks are just, you know, Mutter on Shabbos, like, or, you know, like Dovrashin Miskavin, just, you know, it's fine. Just Dovrashin Miskavin, just not a malacha. So just okay. And some other Achronim say, no, just, that's true across the board. And call it Torah Kula. Because again, you need this mapping in order to give meaning to these ma'isim. Okay? The one exception to that, like, you know, by Chalav and Va'arayos, by eating usher food or forbidden sexual relations, so then we say you're still chayiv by misasik shekeinen. And a lot of the Achronim explain that because you're, the Isser itself is actually the Hana. Right? Not necessarily the action. And therefore, right, it's like kind of the totsah is what's aser. So then it doesn't matter how you conceptualize it, right? In order to say your action has meaning, we need to be able to say, oh, well, this is an action with meaning. And it's, right, it's like a maisa. It's not just like a pi'ula. It's not just a, it's not motion. It's not just a motion. It's an action, right? But on Shabbos, right, this is definitely true. So I say on Shabbos, absolutely, I think, yes. It's as if, like, it's not just like you didn't do it or not you're responsible for it. It never happened because you never plowed. Plowing is defined by intent. And Meleches Machsheves, Asra Torah, says to be a melacha, right, to be, like, you know, creative, you know, constructive, or, you know, work of art, it needs to have been, you know, done with intent. Okay. sorry. Okay. Yeah. And then the Gemara continues, right? Basically, both in the base measure of Rebbe, they said Rebbe was Matir, and base measure of Shmuel's Oser, and in Narda, where Shmuel was the Rosh Hashiva, they said, oh, Rav is Oser, like Rebbe Yehuda. But Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon that Davrashin Miskavin is Mutter. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, V'simanech Ilu Mekin La'atman, Be'ilu Mekin La'atman, V'Rav Shari, V'Rav Shimi Bar Chizkiya Mishmei D'Rav, Hay Mesuch Reisa Din Zayisa, Asu La'aduka B'yom Atav. Okay, the cork of a wine barrel, you can't unplug, you can't, La'aduka I think is to plug it on Yom Tov. Hey, tells us argues about why. We'll get into that. Hey, Bahu afilu Reb Shimon moded abaye v'rava. I'm a travayu moded Reb Shimon psikresha v'lo yamos. Okay, Davrashin Miskavin might be mutter according to Reb Shimon, but if it's a psikresha, if it's definitely going to happen, then it's going to be mutter. Okay, v'ha amar Reb Chia bar Ashi amar Rav halachik Reb Yehuda. Reb Chana bar Ami amar Shmua halachik Reb Shimon. Reb Chia bar Aven masi b'lo gavri. Rav amar halachik Reb Yehuda Shmua amar Reb Shimon. There's all of them after Yehuda Sfer, like, Lahach Lishna, Damar Dam Mifkar Pakid, Mekalka Huetzal Petach, Lahach Lishna Damar Dachwirk, Bar Mekalka Bechaburahu. So basically, even if he holds a group Yehuda, he still would think that Bir Shonam Shabbos is Mutter. Okay? Okay. So let's dive into Malach Hashem Tzricha Ligufa. We're going to start with Malach Hashem Tzricha Ligufa and then move on to Darshan Miskavin. So the Gemara in Shabbos, inside the Gemara Mabez, brings down a machlokas, Mishnah really, brings a machlokas, Amotzi Ochlin Pachos Mikashir, Bikli Pater, Afal Akli, Shakli Tveilolo. Okay, if you teu hotza, but you do hotza, you use a Kli to take out Pachos Mikashir. So the Kli is just a way to move out this other object, and this other object is less than the Shear, so you actually Pater on both, even though the Kli itself is more than the Shear. Again, because what defines Malach Shabbos is your intent. At a chai b'mita patur afa l'mita, shemita tefela lo, et amit b'mita chayav, v'chein gizayit min amit u'gizayit min amivela, v'kudasha min ha-sharetz chayiv, Rabbi Shimon poter. If you take out a dead body, you're going to be chayiv, that's Rabbi Shitz Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon is poter. Okay, why is Rabbi Shimon poter? Afil b'mit shalem, dehevi melacha she'ina tzricha ligufa, v'chom melacha she'ina tzricha ligufa, ela lisalka me'alav, heavy melacha she'ina tzricha ligufa. Anything that you just want to get rid of, says Rashi, according to Rabbi Shimon, doesn't count as a malacha. It's malacha shein tzricha legufa, because you're just trying to get rid of something. Because if he had his druthers, if it was up to him, it would never have happened. Vilo hayat tzrichla, and he doesn't need it. Hilkach lav melechet machsheveti l'Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, for Rabbi Shimon, it's not considered melechet machshevet. Okay, so for Rashi, he defines what's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. It's where you're just trying to get rid of something, right? And you would have rather it not happen. Now, and this is like very, I mean, it's kind of, right, what's going on. But this one's very tricky. We'll start with an easier example, and then we'll get to this example. One easy example of malacha shein tzricha legufa is where you dig a hole, but only so that you can have dirt. You need dirt, so you dig a hole to get dirt, right? So in such a case, it's easier to understand, right? Why is it malacha shein tzricha legufa, right? Because essentially, you're doing the act of the malacha, right? But you're not doing it legufa. So there's the physical motion of digging a hole. There's the outcome of digging a hole, but your intent is just to get the dirt, right? There's no intent for the malacha of digging a hole because you're not trying to dig a hole. You're not trying to make a bore. You're not, right? It's boneh, right? Or chofer, right? Or, or choresh, I guess, but probably not choresh, unless it's like agricultural land. So let's say it's boneh. But it's not really boneh because the whole idea of building is that you're building something, right? You're just scooping up dirt. The fact that you end up with a pit doesn't make it, right, an act of construction, right? If you're in a construction site and you're a contractor and you're digging a pit so you can pour in cement for the foundation, so then you're a construction worker. If you go into someone else's front yard and you dig a hole, no one's going to say that you are construction workering without permission, right? They call you a vandal because you didn't construct anything, right? You just made a mess, right? You stole their dirt. So, right, again, that makes perfect sense, I think, right? That's easy to understand as malacha shein tzricha legufa. The case here, though, is there's a dead body in the house, right? And you're taking it out of the house because you don't want a dead body in your house, right? Makes sense. But that counts as a malacha shein tzricha legufa, right? So that's, I think, much trickier because what malacha is it? It's hotzah, right? And as far as I know, right, hotzah is about, moving something, right? You want it to move something from place A to place B. Right now, Rashi's saying that what? That here, since you're trying to be any time that the malacha is to be misalik me'alav, because bertsono lo balo v'lo hayat sarechla, you wouldn't have wanted this situation to come up in the first place, and you don't really need it. You need the dead body to go away, but you don't need to move the dead body to place B. Right? But again, it's harder for me to exactly put my finger on, like, why doesn't that count? Now, what's very helpful here is that, well, at least for Rabbi Yehuda, you understand why he thinks you're chayiv, right? Because, like, okay, right? Just because it's a negative, right, that shouldn't matter. Now, another example where this would make more sense is the case of, like, you're being chased by, like, a snake, and you want to kill the snake, so that we consider that a malach shein tzrich legufa, right? Because you're not killing it to use it, you're killing it to get rid of it. Now, but again, that I think is actually relatively similar to this case as well, because although you could argue, like, shechita in and of itself isn't really the malacha as much as like shechita to do something with it. You're like eat it, you're gonna use it, you're gonna use the skin or something. Might be because like really a way of getting at something. Sort of like how borer isn't really just about separating, it's about separating it so that you then have the useful part right there. But so this, that's how Rashi understands malacha shein tzricha legufa. Okay, so malacha shein tzricha legufa is when you wouldn't have wanted the situation to come up in the first place, and you don't need it, right? V'lo haya tzarech la, hilkoch lav malachas machshevesi. So I think there, like, it again, getting back to our discussion about Rabbi Akiva Iger, he's kind of saying, like, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it's not so much that the Eino Tzrich Legufa is like poter you because it's like negative, as much as the requirement of Malachas Machsheves says that you have to be like engaged in this, like this creative act in order for it to count as a malacha. You have to be like, that's it. We're going to go paint a painting, right? We're going to go and build a house. We're going to go and we're doing something, right? And if what you're doing is just to like deal with like an unpleasant situation, to like get rid of a problem, that doesn't like meet the bar, right? It's about kind of like, if we get like closer to like the idea of like, you know, Kivo Shabbos Mikol Malachto, right? God made a perfect world. He's, you know, he's finishing up the six days of creation, and right, everything he did then was to build exactly what he wanted, right, as opposed to, you know, dealing with, you know, let's say unpleasant things that come up after. Yeah, Rachel, and then Aaron.
Thanks. It's just hard the way that we're describing it. It sounds like we want the outcome of the action, but we don't care about the action itself. Would you agree with that?
So I would actually say that, also that would make a lot of sense to me. But ironically, I feel like it's actually where we want the action, but we don't care about the outcome. Because we want the action of like moving the mace or of killing the snake, right, or digging, right, but we don't care about the result of, you know, of the mace being in place B, or the snake being dead, or the there being a pit now. Although you're right, because then it's not really an action.
We don't want the mace around, which is the outcome.
Well, right, but what's the malacha outcome is really that I move the malachas hotza, which is to move it from place A to place B. So I don't really care about the totsah of it being in place B. I just care about it not being in A.
Right. It's just really hard to separate the two.
Exactly. And that's what I think is like really difficult here, which is, what does it really mean to say like, well, I don't want the mace here, but like, I don't care where it goes, but I don't really want to do totsah. I just want to move it away from here. Like, isn't that... that's the Tosos is not going to agree with Rashi, but that seems to be what Rashi's saying. Now, like, again, I think the best way or the easiest way to explain this is to really say that, you know, for Rashi, the bar of Malachas Machsheves is very high, right? So it's not really about the Totsah as much as the thoughtful execution of this creative Malacha. So in order for it to be Hotsah, you need to have wanted to move something from place A to place B, right? It has to have been, you know, like a real, like a thought out, a process or constructive process from the beginning to end. Or digging a pit, right? Has to be, chofer ve'eino tzarech ela la'afara, has to be like, you know, you have to have built a pit, or you have to build a house, you have to build this whole thing. So, you know, if you do hotzah and you just, yeah, you want the base to not be in the house, you're right that, like, at the end of the day, it's almost exactly the same, but since you don't have kavana for this whole process, it's just not going to be high. It's just not enough to reach Malachas Machsheves. While in other areas of halacha, it totally would. Yeah, Aaron? Wait, I can't hear you. Can you guys hear? You're not muted, but I'm not hearing you.
Is it better now?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I had to switch my microphone. But so I think you touched on it while you were answering Raphael. But could you read Rashi as essentially saying, meaning the way I was understanding this piece with Hotzah, which I think you touched on, is that we define Hotzah strictly as not just moving something from one rishus to another rishus, or just having something change rishus, but dafka moving something from rishus A to rishus B. And therefore, if we don't care, if we only have kavana for half of it, right? Meaning we do want to move it out of rishus A, we're just indifferent to the fact that it's ending up in rishus B. So could you argue that what Rashi is saying is when, because it doesn't fit the entire definition, because you only have kavana for like a chetzi malacha almost, that is considered a malacha she'eino tzricha legufo?
Yeah, so the thing is, I would say that if it was just that, I think that that's yes, but I'm not sure about Rashi saying that in specific. I'll rephrase that a little bit.
Yeah,
I think in terms of explaining this case, I think that's a very good explanation of this case, because if we stick with our paradigm of digging a pit just for the dirt, here you say the same idea, right? You're doing the action, right? But it doesn't fit the entirety of the cognitive intent and the constructive cognitive intent that's required to constitute a malacha, right? So Hotzah is going to require not just moving things from a rishus to another, but it means you're moving it from place A to place B, and right, there's purpose and intent in that transfer. And here, it's just there isn't enough. The thing is, Rashi then generalizes this to all malachos, right? It says, any time, kol malach shein tzrich legufa, ela lisalka me'alav. It's not just saying in Hotzah, only this is true. Now, I think you're true right about the first part, that is kind of what Rashi is assuming. But he's then kind of generalizing, and this is the part that I'm having the biggest, most trouble with,
yeah.
Right? Is that anytime you just want to get rid of something, right? Because he's not saying it's specifically you didn't do the whole surah of the malacha. Mm-hmm. And I think your point is really good, right? If we can say that he's doing only chetzi malacha, right, or his kavana only is enough or only close enough to part of the malacha, so it's kind of only, it's almost like you did a chetzi malacha. So you could physically do chetzi malacha, or you can have kavana for only chetzi malacha, right? And then it's again, chetzi malacha is not a full malacha, it's going to be asur mezarvana, but not mezaraisa. But then Rashi adds in that any time it's lisalka me'alav, right, it's just to remove it from yourself, and malacha shein tzrich legufa. Why? Because birtsono lo balo velo hayat zarechla. The problem is that's so general, right? It's it's not about the action that you do afterwards. It's about the circumstance which leads to it. So it's even if you do a full malacha, since the circumstances that led up to it, right, are detrimental or are something that you wouldn't have wanted to be in, a situation you wouldn't want to be in, it counts as malacha tzrich legufa. One of the big questions on this is how far back do we have to go, right? I don't know. Let's say your house fell down. So you wouldn't have rather your house not fall down, right? Now you're rebuilding it. But it's a malacha tzrich legufa because my house fell down and I didn't want my house to fall down, so now I have to build a new house. But I'd much rather my original house than ever fell down in the first place, right? How far can you go? So I think you would have to say that the birtsono lo balo, right, velo hayat tzarech la, has to impact the actual action that you're doing, right, or how you're doing it, right, or what you're being mechaving to while you're doing it. I think you have to say that, otherwise it's just, I don't know how you can make Rashi work. So a little bit that does come back to the point about about the nature of Hotzah, but I think Rashi really just zooms in, is focusing in on the intent, on the birtsono lobalo, you know, and malachas machsheves is about like the machsheva to go and do a malacha and do this creative act. So if you're kind of like forced into it, it's almost like not a malacha. So that's very, very mechodesh. It's very, it's hard to know exactly how to formulate, you know, to really make it, apply it to like new cases. But I think you'd have to, let's say when you're building a house, so once you're building a house, you're just building a house, right? There's no difference in how you build a house if it's because your house fell down or if it's because you're building a brand new house. Right? I think. As opposed to like in this case of Hotzah, there is a difference because you're not trying to, you would have rather he not died, right? Now that he's dead, again, you just need to get him out. You don't need to get him to somewhere, right? Well, normally if you're doing Hotzah, you need to get something from place A to place B. While here, you just need to get it out of place A. So I think does still have an impact. Toso says, what are you talking about, right? Near Lari, the Malacha Shain Srich Lagufa, Kari Kisha Osa Malacha Vein Sarach Loso Tzorech Kain Shahayu Srichim Lava Mishkan, Elenian Acher, Kia Tzorech Shahisa Malacha Nasas Bishvilaba Mishkan, who Guf Isra Malacha Vishor Rashel. Right? So I think actually this is very nice because it really reflects the duality in Malacha Shabbos. Are they connected to the Mishkan? Are they connected to my Sebrachus? Right? Where do we learn Malachas from? We learn it from the construction of the Mishkan. We learn it from, right, Ma'aseh Bereishis. So Rashi is saying, wow, what makes something a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? And it's not really like how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, where he's just creating things from like his, you know, from the blueprint that he had. And he's like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because I want to create X, Y, Z. So anything that Bertzono Lo Balo just isn't really a, you know, creative Malacha. Right. Well, Tosos say no. It's really we define malachos based on the Mishkan, and because of that, so if it's you know if it fits if it's domed to how what they did in the Mishkan, then that's gonna you know then it's that's the sarach legufa. If you're doing the actual malacha, but for some other purpose other than what they did in the Mishkan, so that's not gonna count. Okay, that also just gets like ages ago when we learned Shabbos, so we talked about. How building the Mishkan is essentially building like a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In many ways, is like a parallel opposite to Ma'aseh Bereishis, right? God created the world for us, and then right, we kind of created a place for God in the world. So that's like the ultimate act of human creation. Santos is saying, okay, well, the defining feature is actually not this person and what he wants, right? But does this map to the subjective, the objective paradigm? Okay, so it also is much less, it's not tied into the person, right? It's not subjective anymore. Tosafot's definition is objective, right? There's something qualitative about the malacha that you're doing because it doesn't match what they did in the Mishkan. Yeah, Jordy, sorry. I noticed you had a hand up.
Yeah, no worries. Actually, my question was related to what you were just speaking about like, I guess the definition of the term melechem machshavet, and whether that's parallel to what the Gemara describes as like mitakein versus mekalko. Like, I just wasn't sure if we would define, like, let's say something that's being done, the mitakein is the same thing as a melechem machshavet, or if there are two different things.
Yeah, so as a mekalkel, the reason why mekalkel would be pater is because of malachas machshavas, or it's not malachas machshavas, right? Because you're doing the malacha, right? But you're not doing it for a constructive purpose. It's destructive. So that's exactly why we would say that mekalkel would be pater, right? It's because it doesn't meet the standard of being something that's truly creative and constructive.
Okay, and then you're saying like the way that we would define what exactly is malacha machshavas depends on who you ask. I suppose whether it has to do with the Mishkan or more subjective.
Right. And I think again, Liz, by you're touching on a really good point, which brings us back, looping us back to this original discussion, which is right, how are you going to define something like mekalkel? And that gets us a little bit further on in the Gemara, but is mekalkel going to be defined by some sort of right objective standard, right? Like is there like a physical improvement or a physical disprovement, right? There should be a word. There should be disprovement. It's probably just not commonly used because it's so easy to get confused with disproving, but disprovement should be a word. So it is now. Right? Yeah.
All right. A refutation now.
What?
Isn't it a refutation?
No, improvement. You could disprove.
Oh,
there's this improvement and disprovement.
Like something, I mean, that should improve something.
Right. Oh, okay. Right. There's, yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. Is there a really good word for the opposite of improve?
Maybe like hinder, like hindrance? Or.
Well, it's not, because hindrance is really preventing, is really external to the thing, right?
Degrade.
Destroy.
Oh. Destroy is too complete. Degrade is not bad. Degrade is not bad. Right. Although the thing about degrade is that it implies something that happens to the whole, right? Like the whole was 100% and now the whole is only 90%. Right? While like an improvement could be like on a specific module. It could be like specific, like a certain thing is getting improved. Right, or like a certain feature is got worse, you know. So I'm trying to think. Is there like a, because ruins and degrade are sort of on the whole organism or the whole entity. Yeah, it's a good catch. Well, I just have to use disprove, improve and disprove. Although disprove is also already used. Disimprove? No, that's too long already. All right, we'll have to. You'll have to know what I mean. So yeah, so exactly, this question I think should apply, just like we're talking about by Davar Mlach and Tzricha L'Gufa, right? Are we going to define it based on the physical action and say, oh well, there's this paradigm of the Melechas HaMishkan, and anything that doesn't meet that paradigm is Mlach and Tzricha L'Gufa, right? Or like Rashi and say, no, it's not about physically or like your action is missing anything. Right? It's that what you're trying to do with it, right? Is it bertono lo balo, or is it something that, you know, no, like it's, you know, it's something that you want to do. Or it's like, no, like, no, you're like, ugh, you know, you have to take out the garbage. That's, by the way, another good question. Like, if you every time, like, taking out the garbage on Shabbos would be a melach shein tzrich legufa after, you know, if it was Torah Sarabim, right? Because you're like, ugh, I wouldn't want to. On the other hand, it's like
if you're putting it where your garbage collection is and you want it to be there.
Right. You also like you want to put it there, right? So you are taking it from place A to place B. On the other hand, bertono lo balo, you'd rather just not be garbage and you wouldn't have to deal with it, right? On the other hand, you know, like that's, you know, you're not putting it.
I never want to do a malacha. I want malacha to be done. I never want to have to do something.
No. I don't know. You don't get like a geschmack out of like, I don't know, cooking like
field.
Climbing your field.
Yeah, have you never planted a tree in Israel?
When
have you never gone in a giant
after planting trees? Yeah.
I wish that's there, true. I'm in Israel, so it's easier. You know, but bati nirin, you can do it with arts. You can always make, you know, make at least two bati nirin, you know. Get a, what are they called? A treadle? Those pedals that you push up and down to make the treadles go up, and the treadles, I think they're called, those like screens with the holes for the warp and the woof and all the loom stuff. You don't get a geschmack out of doing all the loom stuff. You're saying no, you just rather buy it on Amazon. I hear that. Or Shane is the one about clothing. Or next and Shane and next. There you go. That's what in Israel everyone orders from Shana next. Yeah. Yeah. So I think again, it's like kind of like a bot, right? Like if it's bertono lo balo, I think it's true. Like, oh, I don't know. I wish my food was all cooked. I wish, you know, I had someone going around cooking my food. So it is right. It's hard to see like where does the line stop, you know, or like taking out the garbage. You say, well, you know, it's a kind of a natural, normal part of life. There's garbage. You have to take it out. So that's it's like, you know, you want to eat food. Part of eating food means that there's going to be like garbage, like peels and bones and whatever. So you want to eat the food. So then that also means that you got to deal with the, you know, deal with the garbage. So I think that it's a very tough where to draw the line. And just going back to Jordy's question about Mekalkel, right, is the same question, right? Do we say, oh, well, objectively, it's kind of like better to be a basula. On the other hand, it's definitely not better to, right? It's not once she's married. So definitely personally in between them, it's not. On the other hand, like, you know, is objectively, does that still make it Mekalkel, right? Is like a relevant concept to apply here? And I think, maybe, you know, you can say like, oh, well, according to, you know, I don't know. Like you could say like, oh, the more you think it's like an objective din about like some sort of, you know, like, oh, like here's like, when we zoom out and just like we consider compared Melach Chen Tzrich Legufa to the Mishkan, you also like talk about Mekalkel and like, oh, just like objective terms. We don't really care so much what, you know, what the context is. And maybe, you know, according to like Rashi, well, Melach Chen Tzrich Legufa is Bertzono Lo Balo, right? But here, right, it is Bertzona, right, and Bertzona. So it's not Mekalkel from their perspective, right? So then maybe it's, maybe in a Hanami, maybe we'll say that, you know, Rashi would, let's say, be more expansive by Melach Chen Tzrich Legufa, but here by Mekalkel, you say, well, Mekalkel doesn't apply because it's not what they're trying to do. And then just like a third point from that is like, what about where it's exactly what you want to accomplish, right? But it's objectively destructive. Let's say we totally flipped it, right? An example of that is Mekalka b'chabura when you're trying to make a chabura, right? Someone gets you very upset, right? And you decide you're gonna, you know, you're gonna punch him out. You're just gonna punch him in the face. Not advised, right? But I mean, sometimes you probably should. But in normal circumstances, one should not punch other people in the face. Right? Especially if you don't have a lawyer on contract, et cetera, on retainer. But you want to punch this guy in the face, right? And that's it. You know, you clobber in the face on Shabbos. Are you over? Is that Mekalkel, right? Or not? So Rabbi Huda holds, Rabbi Shimon holds, Mekalkel b'chabura is chayiv. It's the one exception to Mekalkel. The question is why? And I think the answer that's given, and this I think might even be the shitasa, is that, well, that's exactly what you're intending to do, right? The whole point of punching someone in the face, right, is to be Mekalkel their face, right? That's exactly what you're trying to accomplish. So normally you'd say, oh, Malachas Machsheva, you know, it's Mekalkel. But because Malachas Machsheva is Asur Torah, that's exactly what we define it as a Malacha. So punching the guy in the face is exactly the constructive act of being Mekalkel your enemy's face. And that's exactly what you're trying to do. So I think actually it happens to work out really nicely because if you think about it, right, this is where Rabbi Shimon is Machmir and Rabbi Huda is Mekel. So you're like, wait a second, that doesn't, like, Rabbi Huda is always the one being Machmir. Rabbi Huda is the one who says, Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Chayiv. He says, Davar Shein Miskavin is Aser. But yet he says, Mekalkel b'chabura is pater. Right? Why does it make sense? At least, you know, why does it seem like Rabbi Huda is actually very consistent? Yeah, I don't get his answer first.
Okay. It seems like the ikur is the action and the result, and Ba'atam it is Mekalkel, which he holds your pater for. Right. Meaning he doesn't really care about the kavana that really, meaning essentially what you're trying to accomplish when you do a chabura is Mekalkel. That doesn't matter. It was Mekalkel.
Exactly, right? He's saying Rabbi Huda cares a lot more about the objective action, about the objective results. So, right, by Davar Shein Miskaven, right, or Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa, at the end of the day, the end result is the result of a malacha. So Rabbi Huda says, Aser or Chayiv, right? But when it comes to Mekalkel, he'll say, well, at the end of the day, objectively, it's a kilkel, right? Subjectively, you made the world a worse place or whatever. So, you know, so that's it. It's Mekalkel, right? So you're pater. Rabbi Shimon says what? Malachas machsheves hashra Torah. So Devar Shein Miskaven is mutter, and Malach Netzrich Legufa is pater, because Malachas machsheves hashra Torah. In order to define something as Malacha, right, it's really defined by not just by your action or your, right, the physical motion that you do, right, but by your intent, right? That's what makes it a Malachas machsheves, which makes it into a halachic maisa. Therefore, right, Mikalkel Bechabura, when the whole point of your action is to make a chabura and to punch the guy in the face, so then, yeah, your kavana, your intent, actually makes it into constructive and creative action, even though it's objectively mekalkel, right? So I think we'll stop there. Yeah, so I think it's just to really just to sum up, right? See, we saw really just two core concepts. One is this idea of kind of like mapping from the abstract conceptual, which we pointed out, right? The idea of like Torah being, right, an infinite Chachmas Hashem that we're trying to have manifest in Olam Hazeh. So there's always needs to be some sort of mapping function that goes on, or mapping process, right, where Torah is like manifest in multifaceted ways, but in the limited world. The same thing's true about, right, people's actions. How do they fit into halachic categories? So people, you know, someone has a vague sort of kavana or conception of what they're doing. How does halacha look at that? And then number two is this idea of malachas machsheves asr Torah, right? And that really the defining features of your actions is really built off of this idea of like there's an action, there's what you did, and there's your intent, right? What are you machaving to be doing? And those two together is really what creates malacha, or like a halachic maisa. And then Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon seem to be arguing, particularly in Malacha Shabbos, right, is, you know, you need machshava, right? If it's nesasik, your potter says, well, Rabbi Huda u'modeh. But as long as you're, you know, doing like an intentional act, it doesn't matter that you're not like being machaving for the malacha, while, you know, if it's malach shein tzricha legufa, you're still trying to do it, right? So even if it's not for the same, you know, purpose, it's still mechayiv. But when it comes to mekalkel by a chabura, I'll say you're pater, because the objective, the outcome, you at the end of the day, what you did was mekalkel. Rabbi Shimon says davar shein miskaven is pater, is mutter. Malach shein tzricha legufa is pater, right? Because malach shabbos is defined by your kavana. Right? You need that intent to create a maisa, but that can also work in the double-edged sword. It can also work in the opposite direction and make mekalkel into something constructive and creative, at least in terms of your action and your intent. Okay, shakach.
Thank you,
Rav.
Thank you.